This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'll never accept, like, this is a rebuild. Like, everyone that comes into spring training is hungry to get to the playoffs and do that. And everyone, I believe, has the intentions of getting to that point. Now, do we get to that point? Time will tell, right? But I'll never accept just, like, we'll see what happens. Like, no, I want to win. I want to develop players. I want to see them succeed. I want to win because winning in the big leagues, there's nothing better.
White Sox pitching coach Ethan Katz joined me and Brian Anderson this week on the White Sox Recap Podcast. Really good stuff. Long, lengthy sit-down. He's excited about a number of pitchers and just the new energy that is going to be in Glendale, Arizona later this week. And we go back out to the phone lines as we are on Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce Levine and Ryan McGuffey now joining us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. White Sox assistant GM Josh Barfield. Download the Circa app today. Josh, when you hear, first of all, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking time. And when you hear, you know, one of your coaches sitting there saying, like, I just want to win. I don't accept a rebuild. He understands what's going on. I think he's just excited about the maturation and development process of all of the young arms that are coming into camp.
Yeah, and Bruce, Ryan, thanks for having me on. And yeah, it gets me excited. You know, I think we're a couple days here from starting spring training, and I think everybody's going into it with that mindset. You know, obviously last year was last year, and it left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. And I think everybody's excited to get to run it back and start a new season.
Josh, talk about exciting. I'm excited about a lot of things White Sox baseball, but Colson Montgomery. We've heard front office, and you're certainly a big part of that, talk about Colson's going to get every opportunity to win that job. What does that entail? What does he have to show you guys and Will before you can say, yes, Colson's our opening day starting shortstop?
Yeah, I know we got to spend some time with him out at Sox Fest last week, and I know he's excited about the opportunity. We're fired up to see him come out here and hopefully, take claim to that spot. But, you know, we don't need him to come out here and light the world on fire. Obviously, you like to see him come out and have a good spring. But I think the things we're really looking for is, you know, I think on the defensive side, how he handles the position, you know, the ability to make the routine play look routine. You know, building a deep team around a strong defense is something that we prioritized here. And, you know, I think he made great strides last year. I think that was one of the things we were most proud of him about, during the year last year. And so seeing him continue to develop there, and I think offensively just putting together good at-bats. You know, I think the process, the pitch selection, the ability to grind out at-bats and to make adjustments, because, you know, there's going to be times when he struggles over the course of the spring. We want to see how he adjusts at-bat and game to game, because, you know, that's what's going to allow him to be successful at the major league level.
You mentioned Sox Fest. I had a chance to talk to a lot of these guys who are now amongst the top 60 prospects in the game, and what you guys have done in the last calendar year of turning the roster over. And one thing that's different that I like from this group versus the last rebuild is these guys are all aware of what's been going on at the major league level. They all acknowledged last season, even though they weren't a part of it, and they looked at the talent in the room, and I was asking all of these guys, you know, do you like the idea of coming up together to kind of change the narrative of the White Sox? And Colson was kind of the ringleader of this by saying, we all know what's out there, we know what's being said about us, and now we're taking that responsibility to show everybody they're wrong. I think that's unique for a bunch of guys who have not had any big league experience and they're grinding their way to get here, that they collectively acknowledge that as a group and see the excitement in the room and say, like, let's go not just worry about ourselves, but as a unit, like, let's do this collectively and do it together. What are your thoughts? Because the makeup on these guys seems to be, I don't want to say off the charts, and I don't want to blow too much smoke, but it seems to be a little bit different than what I've seen in the past.
Yeah, you know, when you're a young player looking to break into the big leagues, you know, opportunity is the thing that you're looking for the most. And, you know, I think these guys are all acutely aware of it. They're not going to find a better opportunity than right now. And, you know, they hear all the stuff on social media. They saw all the records that were broken last year. And, you know, they want to be a part of something special. They want to be a part of that group that turns it around. So, you know, the opportunity to establish yourself as a major leaguer and also change the identity of what the team has been the last couple of years, it's a challenge that they're all looking forward to taking on. And I think they look around the league too. You've seen some of these youth movements here recently, whether it's in, you know, Baltimore or Arizona or you know, some of these places. I think they look around and say, like, why not us? And, you know, it's a close group, big personalities. As we're getting to see them all together, it's fun watching them interact. And, you know, coming in and being able to make that identity, make their own. A lot of these guys have played with each other coming up, and, you know, a lot of the guys that we got from Boston have played with each other, you know, as they've come through the system. So I think it's a great recipe for, you know, something special.
Assistant General Manager of the White Sox, Josh Barfield, our guest for a few more minutes on Inside the Clubhouse. Josh, no really great pitching can go without outstanding catching and leadership from behind the plate. What I saw in the growth of Corey Lee was, I thought, really outstanding last year. The way that he took charge, the way that the pitchers started to believe in him. Talk a little bit about, you know, we know that the young guys are on their way, two outstanding young prospects, and you got Theis in a deal as well. But talk a little bit about Lee and what you've seen from him as well.
Yeah, I think one of the things that sticks out about him is just the tremendous athlete that he is. You know, for that position, it's hard to find somebody with the just physical tools that he has. He can run, he can really, really throw. You know, he's got some power. He can do a lot of things on the baseball field. And, you know, I think last year he started off the season really hot, and then, you know, as most young players do, went through some ups and downs. But I think the thing that was impressive is, like you touched on, he really focused on handling the pitching staff. You know, that's why that position is so difficult. And he was very open, did a really good job working with, you know, the pitching coaches, the catching coach, Butera. You know, so we saw a lot of growth. We're going to continue to see growth. And I think, you know, you can never have enough catching. You know, it's one of the harder positions to fill in the game. And, you know, having him and also the young guys coming up behind him and a veteran in Theis, who, you know, some of our coaches spent some time with in Anaheim and speak really, really highly of. So I think it's a good catching group, and we're excited to see them push each other and push our pitching forward as well.
So credit to you guys for last year that you'll probably never hear about anywhere else, and that is the Maldonado imprint on the catchers and pitchers, and how some of the pitchers and Lee continue to talk about how Maldonado had such an impact on them. You have to get credit for bringing him in, even though he hit nothing and he was done before the season was out. Talk about how vital it is to bring in people like Maldonado and what he did for your team.
Yeah, you know, we're going to be our future is really dependent on how well we develop this young pitching group that we have. And we got to see some of those guys come up last year, whether it's Martins and the Cannons and the Thorpes. And we know helping those guys navigate a major league lineup two and sometimes three times through is vital to our success and vital to these guys' development. So we really prioritize somebody that can help them with the game calling, with the, you know, the ups and downs, whether it's in the dugout, the pregame prep, or after the game, as you kind of debrief and go through the outing. So having somebody like Maldonado, who's been doing it for years, there's no numbers that quantify it, but we saw him really, really help some of our young pitchers. And I think Corey getting to be around that and see that, I think it's only going to help him going forward. And, you know, we feel strongly that Fias has that, you know, those qualities, those traits too. He's been doing this for a while as well. And so really excited to see our pitchers continue to take that next step. And, you know, some of these young guys that are going to come up in spring training, Hagans and Noahs and the Taylors. So getting to see those guys work with the catching staff is only going to make those guys better as well.
There's obviously excitement, and there should be, for what's to come, not just this season, but in the seasons to come in 26 and 27. But how do you manage veterans that are on the team, like Andrew Benintendi and Andrew Vaughn and Luis Robert, which, you know, he's probably a separate conversation due to, you know, his unique contract status. But how knowing what the plan is going forward versus having these guys on the roster at the same time, what could they bring to a bunch of guys that are making their major league debuts or have had just cups of coffee at this point while managing their own expectations and whether or not they're going to be here or not?
Yeah, I think the beauty of our roster right now is, you know, we have a lot of young guys, but we also have some veterans, and everybody's got something to prove. You know, everybody is playing for something, whether that's coming back from a down year. You know, we had some of the guys, I think to a man, if you asked them, they didn't have the year they would have wanted last year. Showed signs. I think you look at Benny, what he did the second half there last year. He shows you why he's been so successful in his career. So I think coming out and showing everybody that first half was, not who he was. And that second half, like, he's going to be able to pick up and be that player. I think Bonnie, you know, he got off to a slow start as well. And he's still, you know, even though he's, you know, three, 4 years in his career, he's still, looking to reach the potential that we all know is there. And Louis, battling the injury, showing people that he can stay healthy, showing people that, you know, they can be part of a winning team, that they were a couple years ago. So I think everybody's playing for something to prove. They're all really good guys. They're awesome in the clubhouse. They go about their business the right way. So just by example, they help the young guys and showing them how to do it, because when you come in as a young player, I've been there, you know, you're looking to those guys for leadership, for guidance, and how to navigate a long season, how to navigate the inevitable struggles that you're going to have. So those guys are such a great resource to have.
You have a uniquely young and also experienced front office that is used to player development, that are patient people, that understand that it takes a while sometimes for the cream to rise to the top. That said, how did you guys keep yourselves positive? You know, I'm standing there 60 times last year watching losses, watching you guys walk in from another loss while I'm ready to go into the clubhouse. How do you keep yourselves positive in an environment where it's been all about losing for the last 2 years?
Yeah, it's difficult at times, right? I think we're all... First and foremost, we're competitors. That's why we played this game. That's why we got in on this side. Everybody wants to win. And there's, Ethan said it in his interview, there's nothing better than walking into a major league clubhouse after a win and being able to celebrate with the guys. Those being so few and far between last year was difficult. I think the thing that really kept us going is, and we have to, I think all good front offices do it, is keeping your eyes on the big picture as well. You got to look at the macro and the micro every single day. And, you know, I think while the day-to-day was not good and, you know, at times it was challenging to see, like, when that next win was going to come, you know, I think focusing on the controllables, focusing on the future, you know, there were still huge wins last year, right? Like, Crochet coming into the year as a reliever, that was – had stuff, but you know, there was question marks on the consistency and the health and these things, and you know, being able to turn that into a top frontline starter who made it through the whole season, and now we were able to parlay that into, you know, four chips that we really feel like are going to help us moving forward. The Martins, the Cannons, there was a lot of good stories last year that played a part, that were going to play a part into us winning down the road. But they didn't necessarily add up to win. So, you hope to continue to stack those chips and those small successes, and those are going to start turning into wins. And we feel so good about the infrastructure we've been able to build, the people that we've been able to bring in. Will, working with Will here these last few months and going through that whole interview process with him, and Walker and the staff that he's put together, we feel really, really good about. And then you have we were able to add a lot of talent in the draft last year, the Hagans and guys like that, that are going to be able to impact the team here in the near future. And, with the eyes for the, forward to the 2025 draft with picking 10, and, we're going to be able to, add a lot more talent to this already stacked system. So we feel good about where it's going. We know it's going to take some time, but, we're excited about the future.
There's a lot of talent, obviously, up and down the roster and obviously in the minor leagues. But when you look at the pitching staff going into the 2025 season at the major league level, there's some good success stories, as you mentioned. Like Jonathan Cannon was as good as any story, in my opinion, if you single him out. But there's not a lot of innings there when you look at who's possibly going to make these starts every fifth day. And even down into the bullpen, I mean, there's a lot of question marks about the back end. Who's going to kind of win that role? Do you have enough, I mean, at this point through 162 to kind of get through there without, having to go to the minor leagues, having to bring up Noah Schultz or Hagen Smith too early? Because I know that you guys want to balance that too. I know Martin Perez was a big assignee. He'll be able to eat some innings for you guys. Are you done? Do you have enough in the rotation and bullpen right now to withstand a 162?
Yeah, you know as well about it. It's a grueling season, and you end up, I think everybody at the start of spring training feels really good about how much pitching they have, and then you get into the season, and whether it's injuries or ineffectiveness, you end up going through a lot of pitching. So we know that's likely to be the case. We felt good about adding Perez as a stabilizing force. He's going to be able to be that guy that takes the ball every fifth day and, hopefully gets us deep in the game. We have a lot of young pitching. We have guys coming off of, that haven't thrown more than 120, 130 innings before in a major league season. So we know that we're going to have to be creative in how we get through games. We're going to have to have depth. I don't think we're going to just run the same five guys out there for most of the season. So expect to go through a lot of pitching this year, but I think there's going to be some surprises too. We feel really good about our Rule 5 pick, and Shane Smith done a lot of work there. Feel like he's going to be able to come in and battle for a rotation spot. Burke was a great story at the end of last year coming up and really opening a lot of eyes around the league and what he's capable of. So you start going through. I think we have depth. Are we done adding? There might be some smaller additions, but I think for the most part, this is a group we're going to go into spring training with. And I think the beauty of having so many openings is it's going to be a lot of competition. Nobody's coming in here with anything given to them. And you'd love to see how some of these guys, whether it's some of the young guys or whether it's some veterans looking to reestablish themselves, they take advantage of this opportunity and push each other. So interested to see how it shakes out. I don't think the way we have it lined up, it might look a little bit different by the time we get to the end of spring training, but we'll adjust and we'll see how these guys come in.
Because of the unique situation the White Sox are in with a lot of young players learning together, growing together in the organization and playing at the major league level together for the first time, could we see an ascension of Schultz and Smith much quicker than the normal situation because of the fact that, not that Bruce Levine wants to see him there, but that the fact is they're young power arms that could benefit from growing with the younger guys at the top level, and there might be just a little bit of a cushion there because of that.
I got to tell you, it was pretty exciting last week having them both in the building and getting to watch them throw a side there. It was the coaching staff obviously in the front office they're watching, but just even seeing some of the players watch those guys throw and see their eyes light up and how special and electric they are. So there's always a temptation like, man, we got to rush these guys up there, but we're going to be smart with these guys. Again, these one's coming off of a college season and has barely thrown any innings in pro ball, and the other one has never pitched on a five-day rotation. Obviously, Noah's had a ton of success as he's moved up through the minor leagues. But we're gonna be smart with these guys. We're gonna make sure that they're ready when they come up. We're putting them in this position to be successful. And really, we're going to put it on them, the onus on them to force our hand and show us that they're ready to make that jump. So whenever that is, whether that's middle of the season, end of the season, whenever that might be, or maybe it's in 2026. So those guys will let us know. But I'm pretty confident that when they get there, they're going to be ready and they're going to be pretty special.
Whenever you need my input, you know I'm there. I'm there every day. So please, so far you guys haven't needed it. You've done okay without me. But
you never know, Bruce. All I'll say
is there's only a certain amount of bullets in every arm, and we don't know what they are. So with that advice, which is none at all, we thank you so much, Josh, for joining us, spending some time today. Can't wait till Wednesday when we get to see you and see all the players for the first time. It's an exciting time of year.
Hey, well, I appreciate you guys having me on. Yeah, looking forward to seeing you out here in Arizona.
Assistant GM of the White Sox, Josh Barfield, here on Inside the Clubhouse.
He wasn't buying.
No, he was. Sometimes the best way is just to say nothing. So, like all the advice, you know, you're putting it out there for free, Bruce. He didn't bite. No bullets in the arm, which is fine.
You know, my wife Janice used to say that to me, but then one day she did serve me papers. So, evidently, well, I didn't take her advice, and I'm not taking yours.
Bruce rarely catches me off guard, but that was a good one. The Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest is easy to enter. Just download the Odyssey app, log in, and listen to the score each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry for a chance to win this unforgettable trip for four during the first weekend of the tournament in March. Stay at Circa Resort and Casino, where you can visit the biggest March hoops party at Stadium Swim. Airfare also included, plus $20,000 to fund the ultimate viewing experience. Bruce and I have some questions to answer. Who are you looking most forward to seeing? Who's most likely to step up? Who's most likely to fail? Both sides of town. We want to hear your answers. 312-644-6767.
And we want to know which executive is going to dismiss my comments next on Inside the Clubhouse.
670 The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Ryan McGuffey, Bruce Levine here on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score. Phone lines are lit up. We're going to get right to them here. Bruce and I have some burning questions that we want to ask each other. We want to ask you, the fan, at 312-644-6767. We just finished with White Sox assistant GM Josh Barfield. So let's go. Let's take a White Sox call.
By the way, there's no medication for this burning
sensation here. This is one you just have to wait out, man.
It is.
It could be a long 5 to 7 days. Hey, Ron, what's going on? Welcome to Inside the Clubhouse.
Hey, Ryan, Bruce. Look here, not too much long. And Bruce, I agree with you. The best thing about tomorrow, no more football. They're going to make you love football whether you love it or not.
Amen, brother. It's just you and me out there on the plank.
So I'm going to get to a couple of things. I would like to see Braden Montgomery, and maybe at some point, Chase Mearsroth probably has a chance, second base is open. But here's the thing, guys, I really want to talk about. It doesn't matter how many players that you have in, say, the top 100, player development. Let me give you a few names. Miguel Vargas, Brian Ramos, Oscar Colas. Dominique Fletcher. See, there is no development. When people talk about Baltimore, they developed all those young players. So that's my thing. Yeah, I'm looking for, I think on the pitcher, I see some of the development. I'm optimistic, but you look, I just gave four names. There's nothing. They were talking about Brian Ramos, who's going to be the third baseman. Now they're talking about maybe. But I'm just saying, I haven't seen any development of young players.
Understood. But, you know, Ron, before you go, there's always failures, right? Even when you have good teams, there's failures. I mean, that's just a part of baseball. Ron, you've been watching baseball for your whole life. It's a long time.
55 years.
How many of the prospects actually work out anywhere?
No.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, you're right. So that's why I said we can't get it too excited. But then, Bruce, you have to have some. The White Sox at this point, Tim Anderson, they developed Tim Anderson.
Yeah.
But
you'll see him opening day.
Start mentioning names. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of failure. This is the toughest game to play. But you have to have some successes. And other than Tim Anderson, you can't really speak of anybody that the White Sox have developed.
Yeah, so, there's a pitcher in Boston that came along pretty well.
Yeah, the pitcher is pretty good. But guess what?
You're talking about position players? I get it.
It's coming soon, guys. That's the most important thing. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you.
Love your attitude, Ron.
Appreciate you.
Happy New Year.
I get it, man. Like, I get it. Especially after the last rebuild, there was very few success stories at all. And he mentioned a couple of guys that might be bridge guys to get to the next group of guys coming up. But there's Ramos could develop. We've barely seen any of him. Vargas has a lot to prove this year.
The problem here is multiple, and that is there's so many people that have to develop.
Yep.
The thing I like is they're going to have opportunity at the major league level to develop. I think as a baseball person my whole life, I'm excited about that.
Me too.
Now, I can't guarantee you any wins, but what I can guarantee you is it'll be fun watching guys with some talent try to succeed rather than watching a 31 or 32-year-old guy on the backside of his career try to get moved in July to some other ball club.
Which is why I think this season's going to be a lot more exciting, even though the wins aren't going to be there on the south side. I think you just nailed it. Frank, he's in North Carolina. Let's take a Cubs call. What's up, Frank? Welcome inside the clubhouse.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Bruce, I'm with you on the old school stuff. You're not alone on that plank, so. I have the Cubs, so I'll solve their bullpen issue. They had 26 blown saves last year. You turn six or seven of those wins, blown saves into wins, you win the division. So what's going on in the bullpen there?
Well, I like what they've done in the offseason on paper. I can't guarantee you anything else. But when you get Presley, even Brazier, who at age 37, going on 38, is a bit long a tooth, but really good numbers, successful in the limited amount that he threw the last couple of years. I like that they've padded that bullpen. Look, Hoyer, I thought, did an outstanding job with getting bullpen guys in 2022, 2023, and then flipping them at the deadline, right, to bring in better players. Last year they didn't do so well, okay? And they had to wait for picking up other guys from other teams. They made 27 or 28 pitching moves, acquisitions, signings during the season, mostly at minor league level, to come up with different guys that could help. And they did. By the end of the year, it was looking pretty good. And Porter Hodge, to me, is the real deal, okay? At age 26, 25, I think he's a real deal to go along with Presley and with Brazier. And the idea that Assad could be going back into the bullpen, throwing really important innings there. I love Javier Assad. I call him the most important pitcher on the Cubs over the last 2 years, and people laugh at me. But the way that he seamlessly goes from starting to bullpen and continues to get outs has always been impressive to me. So I like their bullpen. I think they're much improved. Luke Little is coming back. He showed a lot of promise before he got hurt at the end of last year. We don't know how Ben Brown is going to be used. He's healthy. So there's a lot of viable arms. We just don't know how they're going to be used at this point.
And keep in mind, a couple of names that have kind of flown under the radar because it's been so long, but Cody Petit came from the Yankees in the Cody Bellinger trade, and then Eli Morgan was a trade. That was one of the first moves the Cubs made, acquiring him from the Guardians. So there's a lot more depth, and I'm talking about major league level depth in the bullpen, and you can now work from the ninth inning backwards, which is something that the Cubs struggled with and could not do last year. Let's go back to the south side. Let's get Christian on inside the clubhouse with Bruce Levine and Ryan McGuffey. Christian, what's going on?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering what you guys thought of the fit J.D. Martinez to the White Sox. I know he's in the past in Boston. He's been really effective at communicating with younger guys, and he has been very in line with Ryan Fuller's hitting philosophies, and he's only 2 years removed from a 900 OPS season. I don't know if he's willing to come to a rebuilding situation, but I know guys who played with him, and everyone says he's really good with the younger guys, and at this point of when development's so key right now, I was just wondering if you guys would agree with that or not, that he could be a good fit at a reasonable price.
Well, it's that name I loved like 5 years ago for the White Sox. I think J.D. Martinez, the flirt with J.D. Martinez has been real with the White Sox for a long time. In this situation, I honestly don't see it. I don't see it. I like the idea and the creativity as to why you'd bring him here. I think, Christian, that's a good idea, like with the young players and the young roster. But at this point in his career, I mean, he's out there. He could be done at any point. I think he'll get a flyer, probably sign somewhere in spring training. But at this point in his career, I think he's going to want to win, A. B, I mean, I guess money talks. If there's one spot and it's the White, I just don't see, to Bruce's point about a 31 or 32-year-old, and he's even older than that, taking up a roster spot when you're trying to develop a bunch of kids, I don't see it here. Plus, J.D. Martinez is talking about playing professional pickleball after he's done anyway. So maybe that's
closer than we think. I do like the idea of the veterans who add the idea of being winners.
Agreed.
To a team.
Are you there yet? Are you like if they were on the cusp?
If he's taking at bats away from a younger hitter who has promise, no. But there are people that still have to show the way. And Martinez for 4 months, at what price? You know, what are you talking about? $5 million, $7 million?
And you got a couple guys, right? I mean, you have Andrew Benintendi, you have Andrew Vaughn, you have Luis Robert. Yeah. I mean, you have veteran guys who are already taking up roster spots.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen either. Hey, Bruce, before we go back to the phone lines, let's get one of our questions in. Let's go player from each team that's most likely to step up. Let's go with the Cubs first.
Player that's going to most likely step up.
Yep.
That hasn't in the past. I mean,
it's interpretation. A guy that's going to bounce back.
It's the right fielder. It's the right fielder. I mean,
Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, Tucker. He's going to step up. Okay, you're going to see Chicago Cub fans who haven't watched a lot of other Major League Baseball are going to be surprised what a terrific player this guy is all the way around. Base running, throwing, going over the fence for a ball, you know, the leadership that he'll bring with from the Houston Astros, and dynamic hitter. So this is no great surprise for most people, but if you haven't watched him play, you're in for a treat.
All right, so Bruce and I did not share our answers to these questions beforehand. I am not going with Kyle Tucker, but I'm going. Kyle Tucker's influence is going to rub off on the player. I'm saying Pete Crow Armstrong. I think PCA really takes another step in his development offensively and defensively. We already know he's good, but to have that right fielder, that sure thing out there, Bruce, I think that's going to help him make him a better all-around player and understand how to, like, when to run down a ball in the gap, when to let Kyle Tucker. The communication is going to be elite for PCA.
They have a great defensive outfield automatically. Now, what you said is right. Learning how to play the outfield together. Armstrong has the ability to be the best defensive outfielder in the world, but taking routes, making sure you understand you don't run over your right fielder or your left fielder, that's part of what Pete was learning last year. But it should be fun to watch these guys fly around, as the expression goes, and just go get everything that's in the outfield next year.
All right, player, you're getting on a plane later today. Player you're most looking forward to seeing, Cubs.
Most looking, Nico Hoerner playing second base.
Mm.
Okay. I want to see that he's healthy and that he's back part of that lineup. I really do. I'm excited about it. I'll preface it by saying I want to see Miguel Amaya having found the key to being at least an average hitter if he starts muscling up balls like he did in the minor leagues, because his hitting was ahead of his defense in the minor leagues before he started getting arm injuries. And then he's concentrated on his defense and game calling as a big part of being the primary catcher for the Cubs. But I think there's more in there offensively for Amaya.
All right, so I'm going to go with the captain obvious one, which is Kyle Tucker. That's mine, and it's because you talked about it in your answer for the player most likely to step up. I don't think Chicago knows how good Kyle Tucker is. Like, I don't think the whole city, because we don't watch a lot of Houston Astros baseball games, obviously. They play their West Coast team, even though they're in Texas. They're playing later at night, and we don't get them. Kyle Tucker is a superstar. And by the end of the season, I think we'll see that he's the biggest sports star in this town in terms of athletic ability. I really do. Like, he'll be right up there with Connor Bedard, but he's the best baseball player.
Barring an injury, as we always say.
Yeah, injury, this dude is a dude, and he's going to get paid, whether it's by the Cubs or something else. That'll be a conversation we'll kick down the road. How about White Sox?
White Sox, again, Montgomery's my number one. I want to see him, like the White Sox front office wants to see him, handle the position every day. I don't care if he hits 220, if he hits 15 to 20 bombs, and he doesn't look overmatched out there. I'm all in on Colson Montgomery being the shortstop.
I realize that we did not do the White Sox player to step up, so we'll get to that in a second. I'm going Noah Schultz, this player I'm most looking forward to seeing. Just looking at him, he's 6'10.5". I mean, the specimen alone is hard not to just be like, wait, what? The dude looks like Randy Johnson, a young version of Randy Johnson. And judging from talks with Ethan Katz, the stuff, it looks different. It looks different. He's the highest-rated prospect in the White Sox system. We might not see him in 2025. We had Barfield just tell us. I have a feeling we will, Bruce, when all said and done. But I think Noah Schultz could end up being maybe if he's somewhere between Chris Sale and Garrett Crochet. Whew.
For him and for the other White Sox pitchers, I want to see clean deliveries, okay? Mm-hmm. For the big body guys, especially falling off and, throwing with a lot of torque, falling off of a mountain, you're not going to last long, okay? You're just not.
Nope.
You're gonna have Tommy John. You're going to have shoulder problems. So the deliveries, Katz has his hands full, making sure that he can help those big bodies go north and south as far as up and down the hill. That's the really important part to the development. More than anything else, a clean delivery is the most important thing for these young pitchers.
All right, since we didn't do White Sox player most likely to step up, who are you going with there?
White Sox player most likely to step up, Luis Robert Jr.
Ooh, motivated Luis Robert. That sounds fun.
I'm motivated to watch him play, prove he's a superstar in the game again, and get traded for three or four players at the trading deadline.
I'm in on that. I like that answer. I'd like to see him motivated.
He's motivated.
I'm motivated to see a motivated Luis Robert. My answer, I'm a big believer. I'm a big believer in Colson Montgomery. I am. I think him failing last year, most of the year, was a big deal. It was a big deal. It wasn't talked about a lot because he was doing it in Charlotte. They could have brought him up at any point to come up here and play every day and just fail with the rest, but they didn't. They taught him a lesson. I loved it. And the way, talking to him, he's a very cerebral, he's hard on himself, he has high expectations. Some people might look at that as a bad thing in baseball. I don't look at that at all. He had a good Arizona Fall League. They pulled him out after 2 weeks. He went on a high note. I think Colson Montgomery could be a dude.
Coming back from our break, we will show you how, whether baseball has a salary cap or not, does not impact you in a positive way or hardly at all, because somebody is going to be taking your money, whether it's the owners or the players.
What a tease. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Ryan McGuffey. This is Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
Bruce Levine, Ryan McGuffey back for our final inning here on Inside the Clubhouse as Bruce preps to get down to Arizona, where it's going to be a hell of a lot nicer down there than it is here. Bruce, before the break, you teased salary cap in baseball.
Commissioner Rob Manfred came out with a statement this week that he's getting emails from fans that they would prefer to have a salary cap in baseball. I understand why owners want a salary cap, because fixed cost means that if they... So any salary cap is based on certain revenues that come in, not all revenues. The misnomer is that in football or basketball that all revenues that teams get, they split 52-48 one way or the other with the players. That's not true. It's fixed. So therefore, if the owners get a salary cap, they get a huge increase right away in the value of their team because it is fixed and they can move on and advertisers know it. It's there for improvement. The other part of it is that regardless of whether there's a salary cap or not, Ryan, prices are not going down in baseball. So it doesn't impact the fan that way. And it also, a salary cap can impede movement for teams, as we see in the NBA, in these trades where people have to trade three guys for two guys, and some of them never even end up on the team. They just release the contract.
Third or fourth team involved in order to get.
So, you know, is that the forerunner to non-guaranteed contracts as well? Okay, so there's a lot with, and again, I'm not on the player's side. I'm not on the owner's side. I'm just saying, you're not, as a fan, you're not a winner either way.
What about a salary floor? Same thing?
I would be for that.
I like the floor. Because then that, to me, solves some of this lingering free agency into February.
Well, supposedly there is somewhat of a floor right now in place that they're supposed to be spending within certain percentages of revenues, okay? But that's not the case,
no.
Okay? Yeah, I mean,
If you had every team had a $90 million floor, and then look, okay. Then the White Sox, then you're bringing in guys because you have to.
All right, but you know it also forces teams that don't want to contend.
It does.
And I'll say it again: don't want to contend.
Exactly.
To have players in their team that aren't really helping them get better.
Right, and it impedes development, et cetera. If you're a young team like the White Sox.
So again, I think as fans and media people, we're out of that rooting side of owners, players, salary cap. Knows I like a free market myself. I really do, because you're not stuck like a lot of NBA teams are, which is bad teams for a long time because you're capped out. You know, your capologist tells you you can't make this move. You have to look at 2027 down the line.
I think a lot of this talk is coming from what the Dodgers have done this offseason, which is, to me, nothing wrong at all. They've been able to, they operate from a unicorn contract, and they might be killing the buzz, but what can we say?
There's no guarantee they're winning.
No.
They won in 20, you know, they won last year, but you know, they've been in the playoffs 11 straight times. They haven't won 11 straight times. So
no guarantees.
Anyways, off to spring training.
Yes, got
coverage there beginning on the Score, beginning tomorrow from the both training camps. Cubs tomorrow, Wednesday in Glendale. And I'm excited. We'll do our show partially from there next week, Ryan.
Yep, looking forward to it, Bruce. Safe travels. Look forward to all your reports. Let's see if Alex Bregman ends up in Mesa. We got a lot of people to thank. Tyler behind the glass, Dustin Kelly, the Cubs hitting coach, Josh Barfield, the White Sox assistant GM, all the text, all the calls. Appreciate all the insight, all the people who love us, all the people who hate us.
And he's back to suck one more time.
He is. Steve Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage is back after a break here on thank you. It's Inside the Clubhouse, 670 The Score.
Of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, get Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.